Tyler Williams is a former race car driver, recording artist. He's the founder of Fear Formula. He's helping powerful people remember how powerful they actually are. Welcome to the show, Tyler.
George, it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm looking forward to sharing some time.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, you covered a good bit of it. For the last 20 years, I've worked in the high-stakes world of country music and motorsports. And kind of behind the scenes, I spent the last decade helping entrepreneurs, small business owners leverage the power of their voice, helping them embrace their fears and step into what I call starting fires that turn into symbols of light for the community around them. I'm 6 weeks as a new resident of Charlotte, North Carolina. I just moved here from Nashville after 5 years of being in the country music scene, living in Franklin, Tennessee. I'm Atlanta born and raised, so Georgia is home for me. So I've moved quite a bit, but I haven't ventured too far from home. Had a little stint in the University of Georgia for college way back about 20 years ago. And out doing work in the world that really lights me up by helping people tap into the internal experience so they can go affect the external world.
I love it. So what's scarier? Performing on stage or driving a car around a track?
The exposure on the stage is a little more fearful for me because it's a little more vulnerable. The race car, even though you can physically get hurt, you're in a cocoon. You know, people can't really see you very well. You've got a helmet on. And so the stage work is certainly creates a more fearful experience for me.
How about enjoyable?
Racing is more enjoyable because of that aspect. I can hide in the race car where, you know, my core fear still is around being seen, which people laugh at because they see you on stage as a speaker, as a singer, and they know you've raced cars and you've been on TV and radio, you do all these things, right? And I still have this fear of being seen. So the stage work lights me up, I love it, but those moments before creates a little more fear than strapping into the race car.
Fascinating, right?
Yeah.
Huh. Cool. Not cool that you have a core fear of being seen, but right. I think you get the idea. How did you tell me about core fear and how you figured out what yours is or was?
Well, I can go back to middle school, and I performed as 11 and 12 years old at the Fox Theater in Atlanta. 4,000 people in a week's run of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. The choir I was in was selected to perform. And that was a moment where you're loving life. You're getting to be on stage, you're with your friends, you're as part of this big production. And towards the end of it, you realize people do this for a living. I want to do this. I want to perform. It doesn't have to be Broadway. It doesn't have to be musicals. I just wanted to be on stage. I love the feeling. Fast forward a couple of years, I'm at a house party. I'm the lead singer of this band we put together with some friends. We show up, we didn't practice. And when you don't practice anything, there's oftentimes it just doesn't go well. And so stepped up to the mic for the first song. And I don't know if you've ever been in a car and you're singing a song and you think you know every single lyric. And then you turn down the music or like the song fades for a second because you run through like a tunnel. And all of a sudden you're like, wait, I don't know any of those words. I was just saying something of nonsense. That's kind of what it ended up being. The intro came in and I totally missed the mark. And my friend on guitar looks at me, kind of gives me that side eye, like, what are you doing, man? Like, you're messing this up. And I just panicked. I didn't know what to do. We finally got into the song, but again, about the second verse, had another panic moment. And I just walked off stage, not knowing what I should do or could do even. Because if I didn't know the first song, I certainly didn't know the second. I turned around, stood in this doorway watching my friends continue to play. And it was with a group of friends, the girls I was trying to impress, the buddies, you know, I was trying to look cool in front of. And in that moment, I made a decision not to perform in public for over 10 years. Hmm. And so I didn't carry that every single waking moment of every day going, man, that was the moment. This is awful. This is my life. I'm destined to be, you know, less than or awful. I just know I didn't want to experience that again. And it wasn't until I started doing some personal development work and growth that I realized that was a pivotal moment where I made a vow to never do something And I stuck with it because I didn't want to feel the fear, the shame, the embarrassment. And nobody made fun of me. Nobody was, you know, holding that against me. It's just that internal experience of not wanting to experience something again. And that has rang true for most of my life since that moment, where I've done a lot of things that people go, man, this guy's fearless. He's singing in front of thousands. He's racing cars and he's crashing them and flipping and getting back up and doing it again the next week. But I still have this fear of being seen. And that's a pivotal moment I can trace it back to. And so I think everyone has core fears. And it might not just be just one, but it's the ability to recognize it, to connect with it, to embrace it, and really create awareness as to what is the fear, what might be the origin story, and then we can massage on the story.
So there's so much there, because I think that we all have core fears. And would it be okay to refer to that as limiting beliefs as well? Is there a relationship there?
Yeah, sure. It's absolutely a limiting belief, right? Like, it wasn't that I couldn't get up and speak or sing or share. It's that single experience created an internal dialogue that was something I didn't want to recreate, because I believe that I might recreate it through failing, right? Forget the words to the speech, or not know what to say next, or get up and try to perform again and forget the lyrics. All those are just a set of beliefs around something that happened in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's little traumas, big traumas, little fears, a major fear experience, we can recreate and rewire that experience with a new message should we choose to do the work, right?
So how do I know? How do I know if it is something when I was a kid that I've been now hiding from for decades?
Taking the time to do the work, you know, to take the moments where you're feeling that fear and tap into it, to begin to ask questions of it. You know, often when people start getting close to it, we've learned to disassociate, disconnect, and numb from it. And so we pull out the phone and we scroll, or we're pulling out the drinks, or you might turn to sex, or you might turn to drugs, or you might some kind of vice, right? It might just be workaholism, something to distract from what's actually happening within the body. And so we can do all the mindset coaching we want, but we also have to think, what is the body doing? You know, are there sensations in the body? Is there a specific location where we're feeling a certain pressure or tingling? And we're able to slow down and ask the questions of what's happening. We kind of breathe into the moment and start uncovering, where might this have originated? And maybe it is a singular moment that you are very clear on, this day, this happened, and I know it. And there's other scenarios where it's not as clear of a picture. It's maybe a faint memory of, like, this may have happened, but I don't know. And the mind can be tricky, right? We can create stories that maybe there's truth in it, but we don't totally know. And so it's getting into the story, and what is the meaning you're making of the story? And that's when we begin to tap into the conversation around fear.
What's the meaning that of the story we're telling ourselves? I'm saying that wrong.
Certainly the meaning. So there's a story, and then there's the meaning of the story. And when we begin to take the time to create awareness around it, you know, what is the events as they happened? And then what is it that we make of the events? Those are two different experiences.
Got it. When I start to engage in this kind of work, and I start to do this exploration of, in this situation or these situations, not only do I get nervous intellectually, but my body actually, I get tense, or the hair on the back of my neck, or whatever. It's this fear, this manifestation of the way that I'm feeling or perceiving is happening. And for the last X number of years, decades, lifetimes, I've been just avoiding this through my phone or drinking or whatever. I've been coping, disassociating.
Right.
Do I go right after the big thing? Do I start with smaller things? How do I eat the elephant?
This is the beauty of fear formulas. There is no singular fear formula. It's what is your fear formula. So in the conversation is creating a framework for what is it that you need in the moment. You may be ready to dive in and tackle the biggest elephant in the room. You may be primed and ready. Your body, your nervous system, you've either done enough work already, or you're just in a state where you can move into big conversations and experiences. Or you may be in a place where the amount of overwhelm, the amount of stress, the state of your nervous system is in override, and to jump into the biggest, most audacious conversation that you've ever had around your fears, or simply just what's going on that you've never spoken about potentially, that could trigger you to a state where we're not going to accomplish a lot. And so in our conversation would be a discovery to have the awareness of where are you today? What have you done in the past forward? And that gives us a framework for what works for you in an effective way. And it may just be as simple as starting with journaling. It could be, hey, pull out a journal and write for 5 minutes. Just what's top of mind. Stream of consciousness, put it on paper so we begin to create a gentle awareness, right? Maybe you're someone who needs some meditation, so we spend 5 minutes in meditations. Maybe it's a 5 minute grounding where you're placing a hand on the body to feel the physical sensations. You know, you said if there's tingling, you know, let's actually connect to that. You might be somebody who's ready for some pretty significant breath work. And so we take you on a 60 minute breath work journey and really activate the nervous system and then prime it to call you back home to help you remember how powerful you are without necessarily having to do a lot of talk conversation. Let the body do the work. So there's variations and degrees to which people are ready or not ready. And we try to guide through in a way that is going to help transmute the energy into momentum rather than a state of freeze.
So it is a function of, I don't need to attack the thing head on, but I need to look at it and start addressing it, even if it is in little things.
Absolutely. Small ripples move mountains. And so we don't have to go and jump on top of the mountain right out of the helicopter and say we conquered, right? We can start the journey and spend some time moving forward. We might even just sit by the river at the base of the mountain for a little while. And so we recalibrate and gain some strength back. Because look, a lot of people, you know, fear is a touchy subject. And so we might even start by talking about fear. We might just gently ease into conversations around their life awareness because they've yet to do some check-ins because nobody taught them. You know, we only know what we know in any given moment. And if you don't know something, to step into something that it can take you from 0 to 60 really quick, you might not be ready for it. Mm-hmm. And some people have grown up in an environment where those conversations are the norm, and that's beautiful. But a lot of people have not had that opportunity. And so we find the pace that the client is ready to move at. And sometimes we push a little harder. Sometimes we back off, and we together create this relationship that allows the opportunity to help them be expressed. That's what this work is about. It's activating your most natural, vibrant expression so that you can go start that fire in the community, to be a pillar of light, to shift the culture, to shift the conversations to powerful, engaging, life-giving conversations and connections.
Change is really hard. And I'm doing what I'm doing, and it's brought me here, right? And so I could just keep doing what I'm doing. Is it a function of how important is it to think about that am I interested in becoming an example of becoming somebody who's making an impact, of thinking about that version of me that I'm really interested in becoming that will pull me through the discomfort of facing my fears?
I don't think we often, I mean, we think of change. I don't think we drastically become somebody different, especially overnight. I don't think most of us need to become drastically somebody different. I think the idea that we have some pieces missing and we have to go find them to become this next version of ourselves is really a narrative I don't support. I think remembering who we are is literally remembering, who was I at birth? Who was I at 2 and 3 before the world imprinted onto me and into me ideas, beliefs that maybe I don't need or want, or that were harmful. And so when we can remember how powerful we are based on our most true expression, the design that we've been gifted with, we begin to move forward, recognizing that, you know, maybe the behaviors are some things I want to shift, but I'm not a behavior, right? I don't identify as the behavior that I'm acting out or expressing that maybe I don't like. And so when we begin to meet those conversations with loving kindness, we begin to create some freedom around this idea of, well, I need to change who I am because it's not good. I need to change this behavior because I am this behavior. And most people have not had people around them who've really treated who they are with loving kindness. And they've looked down on them. They've stressed upon them how awful and bad and negative they are. And it's really easy to take that into a shame spiral and become an I am statement of all the things. And so, do you need to change? What does change mean to you? Who do you want to become in the world? And what if we just remember who you are? I believe there's power in that conversation.
Immense power in that. And what does one stand to gain?
Potential for freedom they have not experienced. A lightness, a little more vibrancy of life. Now, if you've been living maybe in a neutral state because you've been blocking some things out, when you wake up a little bit, you can find more joy, more light. But you also open the door to experience a little more grief and sadness as well. I would assert that's life, and there's beauty in all facets of the experience. And so I want more joy in my life. And if that means I have to experience a little more grief or sadness, I'm open to that invitation, because I want more of the juiciness and the goodness of a beautiful sunset rocking me to my core and being able to take the time to slow down. So the willingness to open the door to possibility for whatever. And that could mean more money for you. You might simply want to have more financial freedom. And so this work can help you step into some fears around how you sell, how you show up in your work, how you speak about your work, how you communicate, how you lead, your emotional intelligence. You know, all those things are byproducts of engaging this work. Deeper intimacy in life, relationships. You know, if you're a little distant from your kids and you've been a workaholic, well, how do we shift the conversation to where your kids actually like, hey, I want to see you today. I want to talk to you because you started coming to me. You know, how do we shift the nature of how we show up and really find fulfillment and maybe some new ways without feeling like it's just something to check off?
When you open the door, you're opening it to new potential, like more joy, happiness, energy, but also scary stuff, fear, pain.
And I make no promises of what is on the other side of the doors you open. But it's the willingness to say, there's got to be something more. If you're feeling flatlined, I've worked with a lot of seven-figure business owners, and they're pulling in $250,000, $500,000, $750,000 personal incomes a year. They all have the same fears as the person that's generating 40 or 50, 60K. They still wonder if they have what it takes. They still wonder if they're good enough. And when you're flatlined, you just get used to the status quo. And it feels safe. I'm comfortable. I still got my stuff and it's heavy, But I've managed my life to where it's now, it's manageable for me. Don't rock the boat. But they know that there's something more. And yeah, when you open that door, you don't know what you're going to get, because again, how many messages are we hit with every single day driving down the road just by billboards and media alone? And then you add in the personal interconnectedness of a partnership at home with your wife or your husband or boyfriend, girlfriend, your children, your friends, coworkers, random strangers on the subway. You got stared at the wrong way. You felt the presence of somebody who had some evil intent, maybe. All the things, right? We live in an uncertain world. And the more we can begin to feel at home in our body, feel safe in our body, create stories that support the life that we want to live based on our values, our vision for life. When we meet uncertainty, we take some of the fear that maybe had a terrible story attached to it, and now it's just a bad, boring story.
I love it. Life is a long journey all the way home to that real and authentic version of us before the world piled all that crap on.
Well, you think that you do some work and, oh man, I did a great year of personal work. This was great. I'm feeling really nice. We went through a little dip for a minute because we got some deep stuff, and then we rose up and we're on top of this mountain. I've arrived. And you think you know all you need to know. And then for a season, you're good. And all of a sudden, something happens. You go, well, here's another period of growth. And you realize that you never stop growing. There's always seasons. The roles shift and change as you, think of the roles. You go from child to student to maybe a student athlete, or go to college, or go straight to the workforce. You become maybe a wife or a husband. You lose a parent. You become a coworker. You become a grandparent one day. All the different roles you play in life, every one of them has a shift and a change. And it brings a new story. And I don't know about you, but anytime you start something that you've never done, you're going to tap into some uncomfortable moments. I don't know how to be in a relationship. I don't know how to be in a long-term relationship. I don't know how to be a husband or a father or a kid without parents. The conversations, how do I save money? How do I get ahead in life? We all have the conversations, and no one has it figured out. I think that was one of the biggest lessons I learned in my 20s is, my dad was a dentist and he was successful and he never complained about work, and you just see success overnight every single day. And then you realize everybody is just figuring it out. Just because I thought he had it figured out, you get into deeper conversations with people and you realize that everybody's just doing their thing.
That is the truth, man.
Some pretend more than others. And certainly that doesn't mean people aren't experts in their field and have tremendous knowledge and gifts and all the things. But every day we wake up and we're forging a new path every day.
That's well said. Tyler, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Yeah, the best place to learn about the work would be tylerwilliamslive.com. Learn about coaching, speaking. You can see some of the history of music and racing. And if you want to connect, the best place probably would be Instagram. And it's at T Williams Live. Send me a DM or a follow and we'll connect. And love to hear about what's going on in your life. Doesn't have to be fear related. I think fear is always a great way conversation to jump into the juicy parts of life. So I'd love to connect.
Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Tyler your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to tylerwilliamslive.com and check out the coaching and the speaking, a little bit about his past, and then follow him on Instagram at twilliamslive. And I will link all those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Tyler.
George, it's my honor.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.